Is baptism a mere symbol of rebirth? Is it a prize for attaining a certain amount of faith? The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for May is Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism. It's written by regular guest Pastor Charles Lehman. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism. Stanza one of the hymn, God's Own Child, I Gladly Say It. It's a baptism hymn sung by the Children's Choirs of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Why do we use that kind of language? Child. Often with baptism, we talk about God being our Father. We talk about baptism as birth. Elsewhere in the Bible, it's described as adoption. It's a lot of familial language, family language. Are we going too far? Are we simply using a metaphor when we say God's own child, when we say that baptism makes us children of God, that God gives birth to children through the water and word of holy baptism? Is that substantiated in Holy Scripture? Kind of lurking behind all of this is the real question, what does baptism do? Or maybe we should say, what does God do in baptism? Joining us for part two of our four-part weekly series on baptism, answering that question, what does baptism do? Pastor Charles Lehman is pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Three Forks, Montana, and Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Belgrade, Montana. He's author of the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for May, Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism. Charles, welcome back.
Great to be here.
Is it a coincidence that we use all this family language? It sometimes comes off sounding kind of warm and fuzzy. Are we using kind of the warm and fuzzy metaphors for baptism?
No, not at all. I mean, it's certainly okay for it to be warm and fuzzy in the sense that this language holds up the fact that God loves us as a dear father loves his dear children, as Luther puts it in the Catechism. But it's not a metaphor at all. It's actually the reality of what baptism does. And, you know, if I were to name the top two ways in which the scriptures speak of baptism, they would be washing, which we talked about quite a bit last week, and adoption or birth would be the other. In either case, baptism is speaking of the fact that when we are baptized, God is claiming us as his own child and birthing us into his family.
So it is a birth. It's not just like a birth. It is an adoption. It's not just like an adoption. God is our Father, we his children, not just it's like he's our Father and it's like we're his children.
Exactly. It's always tempting for us to make everything into an analogy when we're talking about what God does for us through his means of grace. But there's really no indication in Scripture that these things are analogies. There's no indication that when baptism is called a washing of regeneration, and regeneration means rebirth, the Greek word genao is the word to be born. When it's called the washing of regeneration, when we're born from above, when St. Paul talks about us being adopted into God's family in Romans and Galatians, there's no hint that this is just picture language that is being used to describe something that's actually far more abstract. No, this is concrete birth into God's own family, and we are his children. That's the gift of baptism.
What kind of a family is it? I mean, if it's God's family, it isn't just any old family. What kind of a family is it?
Well, it's the family which we normally simply call the church. All people who have been begotten of God through the waters of holy baptism are brothers and sisters in Christ. But that's a phrase that we often use to describe the church. And I think often when we use that language, we forget that what we're actually saying is that we are baptized and that the same Father, the same God has adopted us as his children. And so if you want to know what God's family is like, go to church. If you want to know what God's family has been like, you know, throughout history, read the Bible and look at the interactions between all of the Christians there, and you'll find that, you know, it's a family with all the joys and all the warts that our earthly families have. The thing that's different, however, is that our Father is a perfectly loving Father who always provides us with exactly what is best, and who I almost fell into the analogy language again. He is the perfect Father. He is the definition of what true fatherhood is. And we experience that only in the fact that he has adopted us through the waters of baptism.
So that brothers and sisters language that is so common in the church today, if divorced from baptism, is kind of nonsensical, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a nice thing to say. It becomes nothing more than the warm, fuzzy stuff that you mentioned a few minutes ago. It's just kind of a way for us to feel good and happy about the fact that we're Christians and we go to the same church and we, you know, exchange recipes and eat each other's hot dishes at the potlucks and that sort of thing. It becomes language that doesn't actually mean anything.
When we come back, one of our tendencies, in addition to the one that Pastor Lehman has already mentioned, that is to make everything or to reduce everything to mere metaphor. One of our tendencies is also to think of this relationship that baptism establishes and is. God is our Father, we are his children, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And that means we are brothers and sisters through Jesus Christ. Our tendency is to think of that as less real than the relationships that are made, as we would think of it, in the real world with blood or with legal contracts. We think of that relationship as less real. And maybe we've got that wrong. Maybe the relationship that baptism works, that baptism is in some ways more real, more enduring than the relationships we enjoy by blood or by law in this world. We'll talk about baptism, part two of our four-part weekly series with Pastor Charles Lehman, talking today about what baptism does. He's pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Three Forks, Montana, and Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Belgrade, Montana, author of our Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for May, Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Brooklyn, New York. Hope Lutheran, Birmingham, Alabama. Our Savior Lutheran, Paradise, California. St. John Lutheran, Ray, Michigan. Peace with Christ Lutheran, Fort Collins, Colorado. Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Kimberling City, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Salinas, California. St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin, and St. John's Lutheran, Colton, California. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org and click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Pastor Todd, I downloaded your Issues, Etc. app for my Android phone, and I listen to it while I'm on the treadmill.
You can listen to Issues, Etc. live or on demand with the new Issues, Etc. Android or iPhone app. You can download these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. in the palm of your hand. Download an app today.
My new Adam really enjoys the app while I'm on the treadmill.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
It's here, it's here, it's finally here. Lutheran Catechesis Catechist Edition, a comprehensive guide to catechesis for a Lutheran congregation, including expanded helps on the catechism, a section of catechesis on the table of duties, Christian vocation, and learn-by-heart schedules for the congregation at prayer. Order yours today from the Concordia Catechetical Academy at peacesussex.org.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues, Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. We're talking about baptism. What does it do? Part of our weekly series with Pastor Charles Lehman. He's author of the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for May, Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism. This is one of those in a series from Concordia Publishing House that takes the basic truths of the Christian faith, the essential truths of the Christian faith. And baptism is not a non-essential. It is an essential truth of the Christian faith, and treats it in great detail. All the passages are there. All the questions are answered. Where do we get baptism? Where does it come from? Questions like we're dealing with today. What does God do through baptism? What do all those passages that refer to baptism really mean? You'll find it all in Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism, from Pastor Charles Lehman. Call Concordia Publishing House and order a copy, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for May, Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism. We tend to think of the relationships that we discussed before the break, Charles, children of God, He is our Father, Jesus our brother, we are brothers and sisters in Christ, as less real than the relationships made by blood and law in our lives. Is that correct?
I don't really think so. I mean, certainly those relationships are real, especially when we're talking about, you know, familial relationships of blood where, you know, your children actually partake of your flesh in a very real way. But the relationship that we have with God as our Father is an eternal one. When we are born through the waters of holy baptism, God makes firm and completely unbreakable promises to us that last into eternity. And, you know, that's the kind of permanence that, you know, our earthly relationships simply do not have.
There's that passage in John chapter 3, and I'd like you to talk about it, where Jesus, speaking to Nicodemus about baptism, uses these terms, not only of birth, but he talks about birth from above or new birth. What's going on there?
Well, Jesus and Nicodemus are talking at night, and Jesus, I think, is here kind of laying the background or the groundwork for baptismal theology. The interesting point is that you have no account of the institution of baptism or the Lord's Supper in the Gospel of John, but you have this discourse here in John 3, which speaks of baptism in kind of an analogous way, and then you have similar stuff with Lord's Supper in John 6. But what Jesus is doing here is he's talking about how spiritual birth works. And so Nicodemus initially understands what Jesus is saying. You know, you must be born again. The word there, again, is anothen, which can mean again or from above. And so Nicodemus hears it as, are you saying that I need to re-enter my mother's womb? And Jesus says, no, unless you are born of water and the Spirit, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's John 3:5. And if we wanted to translate that a little bit more precisely, we would render it something like this. We would say, unless you are born of water and begotten of the Spirit, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The word there is ganao, which is the same word for beget, what fathers do in birth, and to give birth to, which is what mothers do in birth. And so this water and the Spirit talk is talking about how we are born from the womb of the church into God's family, and, you know, and the Holy Spirit is the one that is accomplishing that through the waters of holy baptism. Another way to think about it is water and the Spirit could be rendered spirit water, which I think is a wonderful way to think about it because of the fact that the Word of God in and with the water is what is accomplishing the baptism.
So while we have God as our Father, we're not motherless children.
No, we're not. We're not orphans in any way. When God adopts us as our Father, we have, you know, the church becomes our nurturing mother who feeds us and provides us with all that we need to sustain our body and life. Our mother does that through the proclamation of the Word, through absolution, through, you know, feeding us with Jesus' body and blood. Through all of those things, the church provides us with the food that we need to live after we're born. If you go and see a friend who has just given birth to a child, you're not going to find that the child is left in a room all by themselves 24 hours a day, and, you know, you just throw in food every now and then so that they can have something to eat. No, their mother is going to be constantly caring for them and providing for all that they need, because that baby is completely dependent upon their mother for nourishment and protection and, you know, everything else. And we are no different in our relationship to the church than that newborn baby is to their mother.
You have a child. Is it Elizabeth? Is that correct?
Yeah, Elizabeth is my daughter, and we've got another child on the way.
So your two children stand to inherit the vast layman estate at some point. Do we stand to inherit anything as children of God?
Absolutely. That's one of the most wonderful things that I got to explore when I was working on this book. This inheritance language runs all through the Bible. In the Old Testament, the inheritance is the land of Israel. In the New Testament, the same inheritance language is connected to, you know, our heavenly home, the New Jerusalem, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. And the author to the Hebrews makes it all clear when he says that no one inherits anything unless the person who is bequeathing it to them dies, because that's when the will goes into effect. And so if you are inheriting something from God, the only way in which you can receive that inheritance is that God has to die. And so this takes us right to the cross, which, of course, is where we want to be. And so through our adoption into God's family, through the waters of holy baptism, we become heirs of eternal life, and that eternal life is bequeathed to us when Jesus dies and sheds his blood on the cross and then delivers everything to us that he won there.
The family of God is not only a royal family, obviously God is king, but it's also a priestly family. The language of Scripture is a royal priesthood. What does it mean?
It's a wonderful way of speaking, which kind of combines a number of concepts from throughout the Scriptures. Peter talks this way in chapter 2 of his first epistle when he calls us a royal priesthood. So I think there are two ways to think about it. Luther talked about the priesthood of all believers, which might be better titled the priesthood of all the baptized. When we are baptized, we are, you might say, anointed with water. We receive the Holy Spirit just as Christ did at his baptism. And in the Old Testament, there were three offices that you entered through anointing. And they were prophet, priest, and king. And in baptism, we become at least two of those. We become royalty because we are children of the King of the universe. And we also become priests. And in our role as priests in this world, we proclaim the gospel to our friends and family. And we also offer intercession for the world, praying for all people, and in particular for those who are close to us. And once you become a priest through the waters of holy baptism, once you become a member of the royal family through the waters of holy baptism, this is absolutely irrevocable. God will regard you in that way forever. Though we can abandon him, he will never abandon us.
Pastor Charles Lehman is our guest. When we come back, 10 more minutes with him. It's part two of our four-part weekly series on baptism. Today, what does baptism do? And when we come back, we're going to return to the language so fitting of baptism, kind of built into that word of bathing, of a bath. But it is a bath like no other, as Pastor Charles Lehman says. There is a dirt like no other. There is a washing like no other. And the one who washes us is like no other. We'll talk about all of that in the last 10 minutes with Pastor Charles Lehman.
The church's music from the 20th century. The 17th century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
a voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues Etc.
My Peace, a Pentecost sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
It will look like suffering, like death, like the worst thing that could ever happen. But Jesus assures them, "It is my peace, and I give it to you."
And for any size donation during the Easter season, we'll send you a CD of this sermon and a sermon preached by Todd on the first Pentecost. You can make a special Easter gift today at issuesetc.org. Thanks for keeping us in mind during the 50 days of Easter.
Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church, Albany, Oregon, is a mid-Willamette Valley LCMS congregation where the liturgy lives and God's people worship as one, with sound biblical doctrine, weekly communion, and a clear confession of Christ crucified for the sin of the world. Please join us at 2515 Queen Avenue Southeast or visit our website at www.HolyCrossLutheranAlbany.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Pastor Charles Layman is our guest. It's part two of our four-part weekly series on baptism. Today, what does baptism do? He's pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Three Forks, Montana, and Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Belgrade, Montana. Let's return, if we could, to the language where we started our series, and that is the language of bathing. But this is a baptism is a bath that, to put it in the simplest terms, kills you. Luther preferred the term drowning. Why is that so important to understand? This isn't just a bathing that kind of deals with the outside.
It's important to think about it in that way because of the fact that we are so rotten to the core. We are so affected by our sin that it is absolutely impossible for us to be rehabilitated. Sometimes we talk about, what's the best way to get criminals to, quit committing the crime over and over again, and that's debated in, in Congress and everywhere else. And if we were to ask that question about ourselves and our own sinfulness, what's the best way to keep us from continuing in sin? There's only one answer, and the answer is that you have to kill us. As long as we're breathing in this life, we will also be sinning. A sinner cannot be rehabilitated. A sinner can only be killed. And that's one of the things that baptism does.
So when Paul is talking in several places in the New Testament about baptism joining us to the death of Jesus, does he mean that we die with him in baptism?
Yes, absolutely. Jesus, when he dies on the cross, he dies bearing all of our sin. When God the Father crushes him there on the cross, he is punishing in Jesus' own body all of our sin. So in baptism, all of our sin is punished. All of the wrath of God is fully poured out because it has already been poured out in Jesus. And so in baptism, we die with Christ on the cross.
I have only recently heard fellow Lutherans using this language, but it's not unheard of. And I wonder what you make of it. And that is, we often talk about baptism. We focus on the word and the water, but I have also heard recently pastors refer to baptism as being bathed, being cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Is that an appropriate thing to say?
Yeah, I think it is. One thing that gives you the hint that that's a decent way to talk about baptism is in the book of Revelation. You have this picture of the saints where the robes have been washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb. And then also in 1 John, you have the beautiful statement that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. And whenever you have that cleansing, that washing language, you should always think baptism, because baptism is the bath of the New Testament. And so the water of baptism washes us not just with the water that we see, but with the blood that Christ shed for us on the cross.
Is this why, so it's not just a coincidence or again, a warm fuzzy, that the church has seen fit to, especially nowadays with infants, for those who still happily retain that practice, to literally give them a white robe, a physical white robe when they're baptized?
Yeah. It's a wonderful confession of the reality that is going on, that in baptism, all of that child's sin is being washed away, and they are now perfectly pure and holy, as the saints that John sees in Revelation are perfectly clean and holy. It sometimes also brings to my mind the whiteness of Jesus' garments on the Mount of Transfiguration when God gives the great gift to Peter, James, and John of seeing Jesus in his humanity as it actually is. In most of the rest of the time, that's, you know, it's hidden from them, but they actually get to see it there. And that same purity and that same holiness that Jesus, the man, has on the Mount of Transfiguration is what is given to us in baptism.
One of the things we talked about earlier, but we need to revisit here, and it's probably just for the sake of correction, but also for the sake of really confessing what baptism is as a washing, is what has been commonly referred to as the mode of baptism, which is usually a question of how much water, how wet does the baptized get? Why is that important to answer these questions correctly?
Well, it's important because some of the theology that would say, for example, you have to immerse a person in order for the baptism to be legitimate, some of that's just based on a faulty understanding of the Greek language and ignores passages of Scripture. But the other thing that is problematic about it is that view of baptism sees it entirely as something that the one being baptized is doing in obedience to Christ in order to show their faith. And so the people that will approach baptism in that way will say, well, you got to get all these details right, or it's not going to be a real baptism. You're not really going to be showing how much you love Jesus or, you know, whatever way they want to put it. Whereas if you actually look at what the Scriptures say, you find that to baptize is to wash with water. And if you look at our Lord's words in Matthew 28, you see it is to wash with water in the name of the triune God. And so that is all that is necessary in order for it to be a real baptism, is to have water applied to the person with the name of the triune God. You know, last week we talked about how it is God who is doing this. And so, since it is God who is doing this, he can do it with a lot of water. He can do it with a little water. I just was remembering, the grandson of, Pastor Weber, who's a frequent guest on Issues, Etc., who was born in a very difficult situation, and I believe that Pastor Weber baptized him in the ICU with a eyedropper with sterile water in it, and he only used, I think, 3 drops of water. But that precious child is every bit as much a child of God as one who is baptized with gallons and gallons and gallons of water.
Then with only about 30 seconds here, Charles, how clean are we after baptism? About 30 seconds.
Completely pure, completely holy. Every bit as holy, pure, and clean as Christ himself, because we are connected to not just his death, but his resurrection, his suffering and death for us on the cross. And so baptism delivers everything that Christ wins for us when he suffers and dies. So we're every bit as pure, every bit as clean, every bit as holy as our Savior is.
Pastor Charles Lehman is pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Three Forks, Montana, and Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Belgrade, Montana. He's author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, Lutheranism 101, Holy Baptism. And next week we'll talk with Pastor Lehman about how baptism can do it. Charles, thanks for being our guest.
It's a joy.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to have Pastor Ted Giese review the movie Iron Man 3, huge blockbuster. We'll see what he has to say about it. We'll also discuss the media's use of the terms fetus and baby, variously used, and the dictionary doesn't seem to matter sometimes. Terry Mattingly of Scripps Howard News Service will be our guest, and we'll continue our series on the daily prayer offices, talking with Pastor Will Whedon about the morning prayer, Matins. That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. Folks, we still have 4 days left in the Easter season before Pentecost Sunday. There's still time to receive a recording of 2 sermons that I've preached, one on the Ascension of Christ, the other on the day of Pentecost. We're sending these sermons to anyone who makes a donation of any size to Issues Etc. during the 50 days of Easter. No gift is too small. You can make a special Easter gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Issues Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Here's the address again. Issues Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a financial contribution completely secure at our website, issuesetc.org. As usual, thanks for listening, and thanks for continuing to keep us in mind during all of the Easter season. Already we see that what God is doing here is far beyond our ability to take in just one short conversation. He is washing us clean in the blood of Jesus Christ, and he is really, truly making us his children. He is giving birth from above to children for himself, so that he is really our Father. He is Father not only every bit as much as our earthly fathers, but even more. And he will never leave or forsake his children. He has bought them and adopted them and given birth to them in the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Islam, worship, feminism, pietism, postmodernism. You can meet and hear Issues Etc. regular guests discussing these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $100 per person. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14 and 15 in Collinsville, Illinois, issuesetc.org.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The virtual organist service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.